কৃষ্ণ প্রেষ্টায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামিন ইতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্য দেশতারণে। I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. The six characteristics of pure devotional service. Number one, it brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. It is the beginning of all auspiciousness. It automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure, is rarely achieved, and those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation, and pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. Blessings on all of you. This month we have some special holy days, such as Radhashtami coming up soon. We also have Vamana Dwadasi, and either the appearance or disappearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Is that true? Does that recall your memory? Anyway, I know Vamana Dwadasi is coming. So we have some special holy days. So may you have full blessings of all those holy days. My only desire for this class is to enthuse, encourage, and enliven your Krishna consciousness. I will try my best as captain of the ship to do that. I am a conditioned soul with four inherent defects. So please forgive my inherent deficiencies. Therefore, I will try to repeat the words of my spiritual master, who is a liberated pure devotee of the Lord. We are going to study today chapter 13 of this Nectar of Devotion. 13, we finished. We're done. Five potent forms of devotional service. Because we already studied that there are only 64 items of devotional service. Not very much. Just 64. And out of those 64, five are considered essential. And just to refresh our memory, let's see who can remember those five. Anyway, it's stated right here at the beginning of the chapter, so why speculate? If you're ready to proceed, please indicate so by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Prabhupada says that this Nectar of Devotion is the ISKCON law book. There is, of course, a GBC law book. But for Prabhupada, Nectar of Devotion is the law book. And as I like to point out, this class is for relishing, tasting, because the audience I see in front of me is not a neophyte audience. I can safely say that everyone here in this room is on an advanced platform. Otherwise, we could not have this Nectar of Devotion class. It is for devotees. Because the beginning of this book, the first chapter, the six characteristics of pure devotional service, that in itself is a very advanced platform. Pure devotional service. So let's hear about these five potent forms of devotional service in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 13. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely, residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Regarding the worship of the form of the Lord or deity, Rupa Goswami has written the following verse. My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshighat, a bathing place in Vrindavan. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. So, I like to point out in different times, places, and circumstances, where else in any religion are you going to get this kind of description of God? This is so special, so nice, that God plays a flute. Who could think? Who would imagine that God plays a flute? His eyes are very enchanting, illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. Who could not be attracted to this description of God? But Maharaj Parikshit answers that question. In the beginning of the 10th canto, Maharaj Parikshit points out, who is not attracted to Krishna Katha? The Pashugna, the meat eater, the butcher, or the one who is purposely killing his own soul. Prabhu, wait a second. Your Bhagavad Gita says the soul cannot be killed. Why are you saying the soul can be killed? Prabhupada answers your question, sir. When you purposely deny God consciousness, when you have no interest in associating with devotees, which is the beginning, when you purposely neglect any kind of spiritual activity, and you're simply engaged in materialistic, vicious activities, you're killing your soul. Pashubna. Those are the people who cannot be otherwise. Everyone should be attracted to this Govinda. Why? He gives pleasure. Who doesn't like somebody who gives pleasure? He gives pleasure to the land, especially what land? Vrindavan. He gives pleasure to the cows, his favorite animal. And he gives pleasure to the purified senses. The purified senses are those senses which are engaged in sadhana bhakti, devotional service under rules and regulation in practice, which is what we are. We are apprentices. Let us continue. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to the Sri Murti or deity of Krishna by worshiping at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus, it is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home and begin to the process of worshiping along with all of his family members. Are we doing that here in Srijidam? Are we doing it in Govindakund? Krishna Kumar is doing it with his children and his home. The Banerjee family, you are doing worship. So, we are doing exactly what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, and smoking and drinking. I just came from Panama, and there's this one city, Cologne. Cologne is perhaps the worst city in the entire world. Squalor. I subtitle it squalor. So, when I was there, they have two paydays, these two Fridays, when all the Shudras get paid. Friday night, they get paid, and the party begins, and they start right from the time they leave work to 3-4 o'clock in the morning. You hear the drums. They're partying. It is very difficult to sleep in Cologne because of the party. Because they don't know any better. They're Shudra. They get money. First thing, liquor store, get my Amrit, demoniac Amrit known as beer and wine. Today too, Labor Day means Sin Day, barbecue, drink. It says in the Bhagavatam, when Prithu Maharaj was milking Mother Earth, everybody was doing the same thing. The demons took Prahlad, turned him into a calf, and they got their nectar, beer and wine and liquor. That is the Amrit for the demons. Therefore, if you drink alcohol, you're a demon. And what do the what is Amrit for the devotees? Milk. Now there's a new philosophy I'm hearing. Oh, I'm not mentioning any names. But somebody is saying, Prabhu, all the advanced devotees in ISKCON are vegan. That's what somebody is preaching now. And I said in class the other day, well, Prabhupada was not a vegan. I guess he's not an advanced devotee. And Krishna definitely was not vegan. That's another discussion. But I'm hearing this when I was in Panama. They were telling me there's a whole group now, they're preaching this. All the advanced devotees are vegan. And they name all these. Well, I'm not an advanced devotee. That's for sure. Because I will never be vegan. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of deities at home. Rupa Goswami further writes, my dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, economic development, and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of the Lord, will enter your ears and go into your heart. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruitive results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme, or salvation, cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. What is that word that appears in verse 2? Where these things are rejected, thrown out. There's a word, Prabhupada, in the second verse of Bhagavatam. Dharma Kaitavo Projita. Thank you. Projita. Completely kicked out. All kinds of cheating religion. Because Bhagavatam is describing pure religion. Love of God. All these other religions, same thing Krishna says. Give up all kinds of cheating religion, surrender to me. I was giving a class in Panama, and I told the story of how Krishna offered Karna the world. Just before the battle, Krishna had a private thing with Karna on his chariot. Both of their drivers, Karna's driver and Krishna's driver, were behind. Krishna spoke with Karna. He said, Karna, come, join the Pandavas. Yudhishthir and his brothers will accept you as the leader. You will rule the earth. I will also back you, because the Pandavas will do whatever I say. I will also back you. All the demigods will back you. You'll be invincible. And then, to sweeten the deal, Krishna told Karna, and in time, Draupadi will approach you like a wife approaches her husband. But, Bhagavad Gita 18:66 says, abandon all varieties of religion. And Karna responded to Krishna. He thought he was more moral. How can I give up Duryodhan? So Karna rejected Krishna's offer because he thought he was more moral. But Krishna says, forget about your morality, just surrender to me. I will protect you. I will deliver you. Let us not be like Karna. Let us surrender to Krishna. Not that you're going to get Draupadi, but surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. In other Veds, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Rasa Lila, love dance, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada points that out. It's in the 10th canto. What about the first 9? You have to study the first 9. And then someone says, but Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. Yes, but he also gave you long purports. Even in that Rasa Lila, he's giving you big purports. Don't think like this. Do think like this. And even within, at the end of Rasa Lila, Parikshit has some doubts and Shukadev clears it up. Because even Parikshit thought, I don't know. This whole thing, Krishna dancing with others' wives, very suspect. People in general might misunderstand. Shukadev answers him thoroughly, completely. So, we study step by step, then we proceed. Or if my good friend Kamlesh Patel was here, first study Bhagavad Gita thoroughly. Especially, Sarvadhamman Parityajya, Mamekam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. In the above 2 verses of Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship, and love. Notice, materialistic. Not this society. This is what we are doing is not materialistic society. As long as we come together and discuss Krishna, then it's not materialistic. That's important. We have to always keep the discussion on Krishna. Even if we discuss whether or not we should go to Syria to bomb, the Krishna should be in the center of that discussion. We were having a discussion. We had a pre-program. Me and the Maita men. The younger Maita men. People are generally attracted to society, friendship and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. But to see the Srimurtis of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed this verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love and was condemning the audience of Srimurti or Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of the verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love and society. There is a saying that you can test your level of advancement by how long you can look at the deity for an extended period of time. That's one way to test your level of advancement, that you can simply look and gaze and appreciate. Srila Rupa Goswami has similarly described the transcendental nature of relishing topics which concern Krishna. A devotee once said, "It is very astonishing that since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, there is shivering of my body, and he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. Since seeing him, I cannot remain silently at home. I wish to go out to him always." The purport of this statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, one must be anxious immediately to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, or in other words, to become fully Krishna conscious. Yes, when people ask me for advice, I tell them, one way you know who is your spiritual master is because you always want to hear about Krishna from that person. There are so many Vaishnavas, and they all have different moods, different styles, different levels of realization. You will be attracted accordingly. So when you find that person who you like to hear from, then you have some idea. Here is my spiritual master. For me, just as a point of reference, I spend every day hours, and I have on my iPod, I have my Prabhupada's greatest hits. All the bhajans and kirtans, I have about maybe 20, and I play them throughout the day. Every day I have to hear my favorite Prabhupada bhajans and kirtans because I love to hear how Prabhupada sings. There is an expression in America, music soothes the savage beast. I'm a beast, so I need to be soothed by Prabhupada's voice. And depending on how early I get up, there's the next apartment, somebody's bedroom is right there. So I don't want to disturb, so I can't crank it. But as the morning progresses, and I hear that the girl goes to school, oh, okay, now. Now I can crank the volume. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Similarly, there is a statement about hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra. It is said that saints have been able to hear the vibrating strings of the Veena in the hands of Narada, who was always singing the glories of Lord Krishna. Now this same sound vibration has entered my ears, and I am always feeling the presence of the Supreme Personality. Gradually, I am becoming bereft of all attachment for material enjoyment. And that is another test. You can test your spiritual pulse by how much you are free from material enjoyment. And with this word Veena, I am praying to Krishna the day when Nityanandi Devi Dasi plays her Veena. I am waiting for that. When you are ready, who would like to hear her Veena? So when you are ready, we're not putting any pressure on you. Are we? No. But if you are so inclined, if you are so inspired, we would all love to hear your Veena whenever you are ready. Is that all right, mother and father? You approve? Yes, Prabhu? Yes. Gaya Veena. And Krishna has just spoken through your mouth. Because Krishna Prema told me, and of course because I'm Mudha, I forgot, that this program is dedicated to Vidura and Mandari. So Krishna, fulfilling your desire, spoke through Dwarkadisha's mouth. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. What I'm seeing here today is the United Nations of Namahat. All the big powers have come. Yeah. I will try to answer if I can. I don't know. I haven't read an instruction from Prabhupada. I don't know who said that, what was the context, no comment. I don't know. As you know, I'm low grade. I cannot answer high grade questions. I can only answer A, B, C, D. Kindergarten questions. You're not the body, Bhagavad Gita. Shall we continue? Again, Srila Rupa Goswami has described Mathura Mandala. I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Yamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens. And these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. This feeling about Mathura Mandala and Vrindavan, described by Rupa Goswami, can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84 square mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Yamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavan are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in these places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavan. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated, but actually there is no overestimation. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immediate results by such association, although this is not possible for all. For example, the Kumaras immediately became devotees simply by smelling the incense in the temple. Bilvamangala Thakur simply heard about Krishna and then immediately gave up his beautiful girlfriend and started out for Mathura and Vrindavan, where he became a perfect Vaishnava. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories. They are actual facts, but are true for certain devotees and do not necessarily apply to all. These descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. I like this point here. Even if considered overestimations, they must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. That I want to remain in my memory bank. That whatever Prabhupada is revealing, whatever Shukadeva Goswami is narrating, all this is there for me to become attracted to Krishna. Madan Mohan. The first step is to become attracted to Krishna. Right now, I'm attracted to Maya. I have to become disattracted from Maya and reattracted to Krishna. Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. That is my job. Sambandha, exactly. Sambandha. Some scholars argue that simply by following the principles of Varna and Ashram, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by the great authorities. Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Rai about the gradual development of devotional service. He rejected the idea of the importance of Varnashram Dharma when it was put forward by Ramananda Roy. He said that this advancement of Varna and Ashram is merely external. There is a higher principle. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says that one has to give up all other principles of elevation and simply take to the method of Krishna consciousness. That will help one in achieving the highest perfection of life. Yes. It was when Ramananda Roy quoted that verse from the 10th canto, quoting the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna, that regardless of your situation in the material world, stay as you are, but begin hearing about Krishna from the devotees. That is our movement. That is this Namahat group, which we have been doing since the beginning. You all know, I emphasize, no politics, just come, hear, chant, dance, worship, take prasad. And through the years, my God brothers or this person wanted to do this. No. You come, no selling, no soliciting, no collecting. Chant, you're welcome. Chant, dance. That's our open border policy. If you have an agenda, you're not welcome. But you want to come, chant, dance, and hear from Prabhupada, your visa will be stamped. That's our program. Your Guru Maharaj sat here. I remember that day very clearly. He was asking, what is your requirements? I said, no requirements. And what did he say? Oh, you're more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Remember? Everybody laughed. But it's true. But over the years, I did realize, no, we do have some conditions. Prabhupada. Prabhupada is our... That's it. You got to accept Prabhupada. And no business. No collecting. Come. All right, let's continue. I'm in such a good mood today for several reasons. I just got back from Panama. And when I see core group here, did you see Sachisuta King and Mrs. Sachisuta King? Right? So all the big guns, the GBC is here. Yes. The good old days. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord Himself says, one should execute the prescribed duties of Varna Anashram as long as he has not developed spontaneous attachment for hearing about my pastimes and activities. In other words, the prescribed forms of Varna and Ashram are ritualistic ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification, or salvation. All of these things are recommended for persons who have not developed Krishna consciousness. In fact, all such activities are recommended in the revealed scriptures only to bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one who has already developed spontaneous attachment for Krishna does not require to execute the duties prescribed in the scriptures. So, generally speaking, if you're chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, hearing the philosophy, then you're in Krishna consciousness. You don't have to worry so many things. And of course, if you slip, you fall, no problem. Just pick yourself up, take some prasad, and get back in it. That's all. In our group, doesn't matter. If someone hasn't been coming for years, okay, come on. Doors open. Come and chant and dance. No problem. That's what I call open door policy. A few months ago, at Kundan Loka, somebody that Kundan and I know many years, we haven't seen them for years. All of a sudden, they walk in. Oh, my God! Remember Kundan? Remember, it was so nice to see this family. Just come again. So that is good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So Krishna Prema, your instruction was to finish the chapter, which we did. What would be your next instruction as GBC of this CG Nam? That I can't answer? Okay, Nishant, can you turn this off, my camera?
Or if you'd like to continue on with the chanting, still about
What I'd like? Okay. No. What time is DRT? Six? Six. Yeah. Six. All right. Can we do this with your permission? Let's have some chanters, and in between, I'll do a little nectar preaching. Is that okay? Who should be our first singer? Dwarkadish Prabhu. Please come. We have, well, the next chanter will be Krishna Prem Das with his team. And while Dwarkadish was singing, I got a text message from Paramatma. I am now going to introduce a new feature. Perhaps, I don't know if he's the first, but one of the first personal secretaries who would massage Prabhupada was Shruti Kirti Das. So he has shared many of his anecdotes. So here's one. He says, it was about 5:30 in the morning, and Srila Prabhupada called me into his sitting room wanting to know why Shyamasundara Das and Pradyumna were still sleeping. Shruti Kirti told Prabhupada, I don't know. Srila Prabhupada told me to bring them into his room. And when we returned, he told us we must conquer over sleep. Prabhupada then said, rising early and taking a cold shower is not austerity, but just common sense and good hygiene. Then, revealing a wonderful truth. Now here comes the real thing. Listen carefully. Revealing a wonderful truth, His Divine Grace told us, quote, by chanting 16 rounds, following the regulative principles, rising early, reducing one's eating and sleeping, one gets spiritual energy. But wait, don't change that diet. If one follows these guidelines for 12 years, all he speaks will be perfect.
Wow.
Should I repeat
what
you need to know? Mm-hmm. First thing, 16 rounds.
16 rounds.
Four regulative principles. Rising early, reducing eating and sleeping, you get spiritual energy. You do that for 12 years, you will speak perfectly. Good luck. May you achieve it. May you achieve it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And that was in October of 1972. When Prabhupada and the devotees were at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. Shruti Kirti Das. So this is September 8, 1972, in the then temple, ISKCON temple of Pittsburgh. Shruti Kirti writes, this was my first full day as Srila Prabhupada's personal servant. My only training had been watching one massage that Sudama Maharaj had given Prabhupada. Sudama told me, when Prabhupada rings the bell, go immediately to his room and see how you can serve him. That was how I was instructed. It was about 2 p.m. The bell rang. I nervously trotted into Srila Prabhupada's room and offered my obeisances. Sitting up, I asked, what can I do, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada smiled and said, oh, nothing. I just wanted to see how quick you are. After successfully completing my first mission, I went back to my room and relaxed. Srila Prabhupada was expertly putting me at ease with his sense of humor, gentleness, and kindness. I have my own bell story with Prabhupada. When Prabhupada in 1976 was going from Delhi to Vrindavan during the festival time, and he was traveling in his car, we stopped at this industrial city called Modi. And the owner of that was an industrial town. It was owned, and he was a Vaishnava. And you might have seen pictures. There's Prabhupada sitting on a silver Vyasasan. That was his temple. So when we got there, Hari Shari, who knew me from the year before in Vrindavan, he said, "Oh, Narantara, I need you to help me." I said, "Yes." "Prabhupada is taking rest right now. Me and Pushta Krishna Maharaj, we want to go take prasad. So Prabhupada's resting, nothing to worry about. We're just going to take some prasad. I'll come back. But if Prabhupada rings the bell, you go in and he wants some water." And he told me different things, but my mind was like blank. So it must have been 12 years or more. Hari Sari and Pushta Krishna must have been eating some kind of feast. And I was chanting, I must have chanted 100 rounds. All of a sudden, I hear the ring. I go, "Oh, no." I was so nervous. So I knock on the door, I go in. And Prabhupada had been laying down on the floor, and he had one of those low tables, like in Prabhupada's room in L.A. So when he got up, he was rubbing his eyes. You know, he had just woken up. He looks at me, "Where's Hari Shuri?" So I go, Prabhupada. And I saw on the ledge some cup. So I thought, "Oh, that's Prabhupada's cup." So I said, "Prabhupada, I'll get you." "That's not my cup. Where's Hari Shari?" So I freaked. I paid my obeisances. I ran downstairs. And there's Hari Shari and Pushta Krishna talking and joking and eating this huge feast. And I'm freaking out. "Hari Shari, Prabhupada wants his cup." I said, "Oh, just go over there. The lady will get you the..." "Gee, thanks a lot." So by the time I got back upstairs with the cup, Yadubara had come in and different devotees had come in. And I'm pretty sure I gave Prabhupada the water. And so I sat, and Prabhupada is preaching to the lady, Mrs. Modi, in Hindi. So there's just a few devotees and I'm off to the side. So Prabhupada is preaching to blah, blah, blah. And then every so often he points to me and says, "Papayonaya." You all know what that means. So Prabhupada's preaching and he goes and he points to me, "Papayonaya." So I'm sure Prabhupada was explaining to her that this Krishna consciousness movement is delivering the malechas and the, you know, the fallen people from America. I didn't have a problem with that. I'm a Papayona. I know that. I didn't, you know, it was fine. Prabhupada's calling me a Papayona. I have no problem. So finally, Hari Sari finishes his sumptuous feast with Pushta Krishna Maharaj. And everybody clears out. And Hari Sari says, "Don't go away. I need you to help me with Prabhupada's, as he says, massage." Yes. So we go to a different room. And he told me to go downstairs and get some towels. So Prabhupada's in the gamcha. Hari Sari's in a gamcha, and they have these stainless steel buckets, and it has those immersion heaters, so the water is warm. So when I come back up to where Hari Sari's doing the massage, Prabhupada is sitting there, and Hari Sari's doing it, and I bring in the towels, and Hari Sari says, "Oh, Prabhupada, this is our Nirantara Das." I hit the deck. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. And Prabhupada said, "Jai." As if to say, "Yeah, you're Papayonaya, but you're my disciple." So I felt Chai. Haribo. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Nishant.